Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Congrats to caller 10 at 800-636-1067. You're winning 2 tickets to see the Capitals Wednesday, November 19th. They're taking on Connor McDavid and the Oilers. 80s night with the Caps. They're going to turn the clock back for 80s night. For tickets and for more event information, go to thefandc.com/contest, courtesy of the Capitals. We're giving these tickets away all week long right at 4 o'clock.
Your pals, Grant and Andy, are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
The Beltway Blitz every day at this time covers the teams in town you care the most about. We're going to cover the Caps, the Commanders. But we got to start with a lot of baseball news over the weekend for a few minutes on the Nats. Spencer Nussbaum of the Washington Post does a great job covering the Nats beat in the paper and online. Spencer, the 35-year-old president has hired a 33-year-old manager who's now hired a 30-year-old pitching coach. The youth movement continues. Tell us about the new pitching coach.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, when you hear about all the youth that they've added, it's when you hear it in one sentence, too, it's kind of wild to wrap your mind around. But people are really high on this new pitching coach. Obviously comes from a sort of like training background and obviously has some playing experience, but seems like someone who's really good at melding both the analytical side and the actual art of coaching side, which is obviously kind of the whole thing these days. Again, at 30, a big reason that Toboni liked him is he'll be able to relate to the pitching staff. And also he's just going to be able to communicate with everyone on the staff. So hearing very positive things so far. But obviously a huge shocker that they signed a 30-year-old to such a big job.
What does all the youth really mean, Spencer? Like, when people hear it, I know it's kind of a joke and it's fun for a lot of folks to be like, oh my God, it's, you know, they're going to be younger than a bunch of the players. Ha ha, fun. And then they go about their day. What does the youth really actually mean in terms of paradigms, implementation, philosophy, and the like? Go into that.
Yeah, I'd kind of touch on 2 topics here. The first is just kind of the availability of them. Now, I think a lot of these coaches that they're hiring were going to be available and probably big names 3-4 years down the line. When they are the age of a typical coach, to get those guys early, I think is huge. And something that the Nats wanted to pounce on. And a big thing that Toboni said as well, with their age is just, you know, it's the same thing. He kind of compared it to players and said, look, like, at a certain point, they stop becoming great young players and they're just referred to as great players. And he feels like it's going to be the same with the coaching staff. In terms of implementation, I mean, it really is a mix of either getting them, getting guys who have had some big league experience and then obviously surrounding them. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they start hiring more kind of older coaches to fill out the rest of the staff and see, you know, how they can blend those two. If, you know, pairing the 30-year-old pitching coach with the 45-year-old assistant pitching coach or things of that nature. But again, they're still kind of filling the staff out over the next week or so.
To that point, what have we heard about the hitting coach role?
Yeah, I think that one's still a little bit of a ways away. I know they were having interviews this week, whereas they'd wrapped up some of the other ones already. So I wouldn't expect anything immediate, although, again, if they're blown away and have done their due diligence, that could change at any moment.
In terms of the, you know, front office and how they're filling things out in terms of, you know, adding extra assistants, scouts, and the like, what do we know there in terms of, again, what they're looking for? It's hard to say, obviously, at this point, but just kind of look ahead for us.
Yeah, I asked Paul about that yesterday when we had about an hour to chat with him. And he had said he expects almost every department to grow. When I pressed him a little bit more for details, again, they're still figuring out exactly how things are going to come together. But if he was able to pinpoint one, it was going to be player development is going to be the department that grows the most, which I think is obviously A, the right call, and B, a very important one, considering how, you know, how much that's been a struggle for the Nats over the last decade or so. But yeah, it's still kind of everything is coming together in most departments, and there's still dozens of hires left to be had, which kind of puts some of the roster stuff on the back burner for now, even if they're starting to explore conversations.
And Monday is the big day for the introduction, right?
Yes.
Blake Butera on Monday at his press conference. We'll get some more intel. Spencer, great job covering all of these updates on the staff. I know it's been a busy few weeks. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Go check out Spencer's work in the Washington Post. All right. Let's talk hockey. Mike Vogel, washcaps.com. Vogues. Boy, did the Caps need last night. May have been their most impressive win of the season without Pierre-Luc Dubois. Was out for months. A 4-1 win over the Canes, who were 11-4, and they really dominated most of the game.
Yeah, I think they certainly dominated the first period, and I think that was really important, given a lot of things. Number one, you were catching Carolina playing for the third time in four nights. You were the more rested team coming off of a 1-5-1 stretch in which they had played pretty well, but just weren't getting the results. And, you know, heading into the back half of a four-game road trip, too, with nothing to show for it as of yet, you really don't want to fall down 0-3 and have to come down to Fort Lauderdale where we are now and then, you know, try to salvage anything out of the trip against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. So I think in that building, the main thing was the fast start that they got off to. They actually beat Carolina at its own game in the first 20 minutes, had them on their heels. The Hurricanes like to use their building to gain momentum, to get momentum back. And the Caps at numerous points of that game last night prevented that from happening. By either snuffing out things that Carolina was doing or getting a well-timed goal or something good to happen. The fight, Marty Fervari giving Logan Stan Coving a nice little tune-up, that was one. And another one was Connor McMichael sweeping the puck off the goal line in the third period, less than 2 minutes after Jacob Chychrun's power play goal. I thought that was massive. So, yeah, really big win, and I agree with you. I think their most impressive victory of the season to this point.
Yeah, I don't know how that puck didn't go in. I mean, it was three-quarters of the way in, I suppose. Just what an unbelievable bit of hand-eye from McMichael. But you mentioned it, a power play goal. I've seen one. It happened, folks. Any sort of signs of life there? Are we sort of seeing maybe a conversion or a turn?
Yeah, I thought it actually looked a lot better even up to that goal that Jacob Chychrun scored, which was a little bit bizarre, to be honest, right? Chychrun from the slot on a rebound, and he was lower, closer to the net than the guy who took the shot, which was Ryan Leonard. And, you know, Leonard sometimes operates at the point, so that makes some sense. But, yeah, I thought it was it had better movement. It had better entries, and it spent more time in the zone. It had also had five opportunities, which has been a little unusual this year, too. But don't sleep on the PK either. That unit's also been beleaguered. They went into last night's game with the lowest special team index in the league, and that's just the sum of the two special teams units. So, you know, your perfect score is 200. An acceptable score is 100, and they were under 90 going into last night's game. So they probably got a little bit of a boost from that on both units. So I think it was the first time all year that they were able to win the special teams battle, win the five-on-five battle, and never trail in the game. So really, really – and hey, let's give Logan Thompson some love, too. Some really well-timed saves, which, again, in that building are critically important.
Alex Ovechkin gets the empty netter last night, number 901. Early in the season, I didn't think he was moving like he did much of last year. Certainly wasn't getting the same chances. What are we seeing now from him? Because it seems like he's turned up the heat a little bit at the offensive end.
Yeah, I think he's coming around a little bit. I think what people forget, too, is he pulled something on the first day of training camp and essentially missed all of camp. I think he might have got into the last preseason game. And you know, for a lot of athletes, for a lot of guys, that's not a big deal. I think once your age starts with a four, it matters a little more than in normal circumstances. So I think that missing essentially the entire training camp was slowing him down a little bit. His hands still don't look like they're as in mid-season form to me, but yeah, I would agree. He's having an impact on more games, and you saw it last night. He had a primary assist on the Dylan Strome goal, and man, he's pretty lethal on those long distance. He knows where the net is from 160 feet away and further. He's kind of unreal in that regard. So you got to give him his props, but it's definitely good to see. Always good to see the big man heating up a little bit, but. You know, again, man, so many things in that game last night. The early goal from Brandon Duhaime, second game in a row. That line looks really sharp right now with Ethan Frank on it. Matt Roy ate up over 20 minutes of even strength minutes with Marty Fervari in the box for 7 minutes last night. John Carlson ate up over 20 minutes, half of which was special teams time. So, yeah, just really top-to-bottom team effort and hopefully something that they can bankroll a little bit as they come in a really tough building tomorrow night where the Panthers are 5-1-1 this season.
Folks, awesome as always, brother. Talk soon.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Take care.
You got it, man. Let's talk about the Local 53, please, Darius.
And to talk about the Commanders, we're joined by wide receiver Robbie Chosen, who's over in Madrid, in Spain, getting ready for the Dolphins. Robbie, I know it was a long flight. Travel has been complicated. How are things going so far?
Everything is going good so far. We had a good day of practice, you know, just getting adjusted to being out here, but everything is going good.
How was the flight? And I wonder, you've played in the league, obviously, for now going on a decade, dating back to 2016 with the Jets. I'd imagine you've done your fair share of these international games and European travel. How many of these do you have under your belt?
Actually, I only have one when I was with the Dolphins and we went to Germany in 2023.
What's the travel like and what is it like as a team getting ready for a game?
I mean, it was for me, it wasn't that bad of a flight. I was up for the most part. But, you know, it's just like a long flight. You know, it's an exciting opportunity, you know, to go play international and have these experiences.
Is that what's exciting about it? I mean, is it, you know, because you guys go to so many different cities and play all across the country. The fact that it's international, is it exciting or is it still kind of, you know, it's a football game that you got to get up for?
No, it's exciting. I think, you know, it's a little different. You know, usually, obviously, you play in America all the time. And then, you know, playing here has a different vibe. You're somewhere completely different than you normally are. And you're here longer instead of being in and out.
We're joined now by Robbie Chosen, wide receiver for the Washington Commanders on Grant and Danny in our Beltway Blitz. Robbie, specific to, like, just the
last several weeks and the stretch you guys are going through here where you've lost four straight by 20 or more, you're a veteran. You've been on good teams. You've been on bad teams. How's the locker room responding, and what's the morale of the team like?
I think we're responding with, you know, just got to keep fighting mentality. And everybody's still, you know, staying locked in on what they can do to improve the situation.
Speaking of that, you've been, as Grant mentioned, you've been on a lot of teams. And I'm sure there are ups and downs. It's pro sports. It's, you know, there's always adversity. Have you been able to share kind of any words of wisdom about previous struggles that you've gone through on different teams?
Yeah, you know, my thing, like I shared with the receivers, was just let's just keep leaning into our process. You know, sometimes when you get in a situation like this, you might try and press too hard to make a play. You know, just let the game come. You know, don't step out of the ordinary. You know, trying to do too much and lose focus on your details or your process or what makes you great.
Five catches this season, getting elevated from the practice squad multiple times now, and you've become a fixture at the receiver position in this offense. What have you made out of how Marcus Mariota's played filling in for Jaden Daniels?
I think he's done great. You know, obviously, you know, he has a lot of experience throughout his career and being a great quarterback. And, you know, he's a great guy to play ball with. And I think he's been doing good.
And speaking of Jaden Daniels, just what are your impressions of him? I know you haven't been around here for a long time, but probably gotten to know him here a little bit. Just what do you make of the young man?
And I got a lot of respect for him. Just seeing how he works, his work ethic, how early he comes in the building, and the way he, you know, he grinds. I have a lot of respect for that. And then, you know, his talent is, you know, that's through the roof. And then he's a very tough player too. You know, I love his hunger and his drive about him.
Robbie Chosen on Grant and Danny. I'm sure you've told this story a bunch, but here in D.C., I haven't heard it. I know you initially as a guy who was on my fantasy team is Robbie Anderson. When did the transition to Chosen happen, and can you give us the backstory on that?
Yeah, the transition officially happened in 2023, and, you know, it was just led by my faith in God and, you know, just a new beginning for, you know, me and my family and my generations and, you know, just a new walk of life for me.
How long does it take for you to feel comfortable in an offense? I imagine that's got to be an underrated challenge, right, where you go from place to place and you got to learn, like, it's almost like a new language. How comfortable are you now, and how long does it kind of take you to kind of pick up some of the nuances?
You know, it depends. Some depending on the complexity of some systems, it could take a couple years. But for me, thankfully, you know, I played with Cliff in Arizona, so I already was familiar with this offense. So for me, I just had to get refreshed. And I was, you know, I was good to go within a week or so.
Next up, the Dolphins trying to end the skid. What do you feel like are some of the keys for you guys offensively to get going here and to get a win for the first time in six tries?
You know, the name of the game on offense is, you know, score points, protect the football, you know, make our plays, and, you know, just everybody, what everybody's great at, be great at play by play.
What challenges do they pose defensively?
I think they have a very veteran, you know, a good veteran presence in their trenches, in the core of their defense, and through the secondary. You know, I think they, you know, have some momentum or, you know, excitement coming off the win against the Bills and whatnot. But you know, they're a solid defense. You know, a lot of guys that have succeeded throughout their career, and, you know, being around those guys, I know the energy that they'll come out there and play with.
Well, Robbie, thank you for the time. Go get a win on Sunday in Madrid.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Robbie Chosen on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. That is your Beltway Blitz. What do the MVP and Coach of the Year races look like right now in the National Football League? That's next on The Fan.
Thank you. At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ARC Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Coming up in a half hour, Robert Mays covers the NFL for The Athletic, stops by. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. I was thinking about the Commanders offseason coming up. It's funny to say that here we are with 7 games left, and we're looking at where they're positioned for the draft.
Mock drafts, baby.
And the offseason that lies ahead. By the way, if you go to NFL Tankathon as much as I do, and you've got your Commanders page favorited and bookmarked at this point, Washington currently has the number 8 pick in the NFL draft. You lose to the Dolphins, they're 7th. You're climbing another spot up to number 7. And by the end of the weekend, you could be as high as number 4.
It's a battle for 7th right now.
Directly, here we go.
Thank you, Al. Directly with the team you're competing with. Let's go, Dolphins. Let's go.
But think about this. Yeah. Cleveland, the Jets, the Raiders, all just 1 win better than Washington, amazingly. The Giants, the Saints, the Titans, they're going to be hard to catch. They have worse records than the Commanders. But at 3-7, you have the same record as Miami, who you play this week, and then you're only 1 game from catching the Raiders, Jets, and Browns at this point. So they could be picking 4th in the rankings here by a week or two from now, which would be amazing. As an aside, before I get to my larger point, I think the play is going to be to trade down with that pick
and
recoup as much as possible. I was listening today, and maybe it was yesterday, I don't remember, but JP had brought up on B. Mitch and Finley, you know, if they're able to get a top five, top 10 pick that you've got to basically go get the superstar player. And a lot of people want to trade back, but you know they don't have enough stars and they need to draft a star essentially. And I understand that logic. I'm not saying anybody's wrong in any opinion they have, whether or not to take the pick or trade the pick. But for me, it's the easiest decision in the history of the world. You had the fewest draft picks last year of any team in the NFL. Right now, this moment, you are scheduled to have among the fewest picks this year among teams in the NFL. And over a two-year span, you are going to be 32nd out of 32 teams in the number of picks. Everyone spends minutes on our show every single day talking about how barren the cupboard was because of Ron Rivera and how little talent you have. They have holes all over the place. This is an all-time no-brainer for me. If I'm lucky enough to pick in the 4, 5, 6, 8 range, I am turning that pick into more picks by trading back into the middle of the first round. And then, you know what I'm doing in the middle of the first round? Probably trying to trade down again into the late first round and picking up more picks. Who knows? I could pick up a future one, couple of twos, couple of threes, but I am going to go out and turn quality into quantity so that I can add as many starters as possible over the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's, again, why I was so disappointed at the trade deadline. Again, I will keep beating this this potentially dead horse. I don't know what they could have gotten. I can't imagine there was nothing available for any of their players that they couldn't have made a single move to just start to begin to stockpile. I understand you're not getting too much blue chip. You're not getting a one, a two, a three. Although I'd point out Montez Sweat went for a second. Chase Young fetched an end of the third round, a pick for despite zero production. You could have gotten something for somebody to start this process, but they didn't do that. But yeah, I mean, to me, that's the name of the game here. And I understand it's not as sexy as maybe the marquee name, the guy that everybody's heard of, you know, just for the sake of argument, Reuben Brain out of Miami, the edge rusher, who's the number one player on a lot of people's boards, might be there at 7 or 8 or whatever. That's exciting. That's intoxicating because we fall in love with the prospects. You just need so many more players, and they've got to be good ones too. So I understand the allure. It feels safer to take the one guy, but they need ammunition.
Yeah, and by the way, taking one guy is like buying one lottery ticket as opposed to taking three or four guys. Even if those tickets have less chance of hitting, mm-hmm. I'll take three good players over one great player. I'll take four good players over one great and one really good player. They need a ton at a lot of positions. And you can't call in and tell me consistently and routinely that, you know, the Ron Rivera era and the Marty Party left them bereft of talent and they don't have any talent. And of course they're not going to win because they don't have enough draft picks and they traded away all their picks. And then also say that you want to just make the pick in the top 10. If they had picks in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds, okay, maybe. They don't. They pick one other time in the top four rounds in this draft. You have nothing. You're adding so little impact talent in this year's yep. draft if you make that selection. It's that guy and hoping you hit the lottery in a round, by the way, where you've been bad so far as a regime for the most part. So I just think it's a no-brainer, and it's a conversation we can have later on. But to me, they're going to have to take that pick and move back. But the higher it goes, the better still.
Indeed, that's a better commodity.
It's a king's ransom, which right. you can get moving back from 8 as opposed to 3 is astronomical. Now, what could work against them is it does not seem like this is going to be a great quarterback draft, which is different than saying no quarterbacks will go early because teams can't help themselves. But if you're looking at this year's quarterback class, guys like Garrett Nussmeier having the season that they have, it would be better if this was a couple of years ago and five teams are going to be taken.
Yeah, if it was, you didn't need one and it was 2024, yes. My God, man.
Six QBs go in the top 12. You're able to get five picks for that. You're able to get a boatload. Instead, this year, it's probably not going to be the same if a guy like Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah, he's going top three,
Indiana
probably.
Is going number one overall or something. That tells you a lot about this quarterback class, I would guess. But I digress. But here's what I wanted to get into about the future. Have you taken a look at their players that are pending free agents this coming offseason?
I have indeed.
So there's not a lot in the way of, oh no, you're going to lose that. Like, if you lose this player, then you're screwed. There's a couple of guys that are very helpful that may leave or, you know, may retire or whatever. But they're actually going to have a bunch of guys depart that are very replaceable as far as I'm concerned. So I just want to run through their list of guys on one-year deals or that are pending free agents this year. Deebo Samuel at 29. A month into the season, he was on a trajectory toward possibly getting paid, and I would have felt like that is catastrophic to lose him. You and I talked about if Debo can't play for a game, they are screwed because their offense goes through him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the heel or teams adjusting or what. He's been a shell of his early season productive self.
Hasn't been there.
The last few weeks, it's like a couple of catches, 23 yards, one carry for 4 yards, and maybe that's why the offense is broken. Maybe he's the key to getting it going. But Debo walking out the door right now at the end of the season, that's unfortunate, but is also not a guy I'm paying at all.
Right. So on a binary, would I like to have him? Yeah, I'd love to have Debo back, but I'm not winning a bidding war.
$28 million?
No, I'm not at all. And I think that's kind of their two categories. One, I don't care if they leave. The other is, oh, that'd be nice to have. I guess the third one is pay him no matter what.
I was going to say there's three categories.
Yeah.
Pay this guy market and keep him, which I don't think anyone's on that list. There's a couple of like backup type guys, but any of the impact guys are on that list. Then there is, it'd be nice to have him back, but I'm probably not going to pay to do it. That's probably the Debo category, right?
Yeah. Like, it'd be cool if he was back somehow on a discount, but there's no way.
And then the third category is, thanks for your services. I don't need to pick up the phone.
Right.
Bobby Wagner's in that category at 35 years old.
Yep. Hall of Famer, gold jacket, congratulations. No thanks.
The man.
Yeah.
Awesome dude, awesome leader, good player still in the box at times, stopping the run, although you know even he's had some run fit issues here recently that I see, but great player. Enjoy the gold jacket, man.
Yep.
I got to get younger and faster. Marcus Mariota at 32. He's definitely a guy I would re-sign if he's willing to hang around because, I mean, he's basically split time with Jaden Daniels this year, and he's playing at a league average level. EPA per play, some of those things. I posted one of these charts today, actually. I think he's 15th among quarterbacks this season. Jaden 17th or something like that. It's been very comparable regardless of who's playing. He's been able to, if they played any level of just normal bad defense, to keep them in games.
And I think he's good for Jaden's development. They get along really well. He's good in that room. I would do that. I'd win the bidding. It can't be ridiculous. Like if someone wants to pay him to start, I'm not going to win that bidding. But if a similar rate, I'd keep him.
Going through the guys whose contracts expire for the Commanders at the end of the year. Zach Ertz at 35 years old. This is the offensive version of Bobby Wagner. He's even got less redeemable, I'd say, than Bobby at this point in terms of what he's providing. I think there are times where his lack of speed and electricity at the position are holding them back. So, again, thanks for the services. He probably also will end up in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed on both.
But I'm moving on, getting younger and faster.
Fare thee well.
Von Miller at 36, same deal.
Same, yep.
I'm actually still surprised they didn't flip him for a pick swap or something. Jonathan Jones at 32. Look, if he comes back for a couple million bucks as corner depth, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to about to find out, like, how much can he play? He had the great PBU on the goal line on a deep shot this past weekend in the game.
That's right.
Nice pass breakup on ARSB from Jared Goff. It was one of the few deep shot PBUs we've had all season long around these parts, so that's a good sign. But, you know, if he plays at a decent level and you feel like he could be your third or fourth corner, cool. It won't take much to bring him back on a one-year deal.
Agreed there. Nope, no problem. I don't think you're going to have to win a bidding war.
Matt Gay, I've already printed out those walking papers. I mean, look, it's a one-year deal, and he hasn't been terrible. He's made most of his kicks lately. But to keep him, you're paying him at the highest level. He got the most money on a one-year deal for a kicker that had ever been given to a free agent to come into a building. I'm not doing that again.
I will not be doing that. Please and thank you.
Noah Brown at 29.
No, I'm not doing that dance again.
No interest.
No, I literally am not interested. Seems like, again, a great dude. I cannot count on him for anything other than what's happening.
I can't believe Tress is 35 years old, by the way. Tress, if he wants to come back and punt again, welcome
people's
back.
Punter, no question.
Noah Igbinoghene is still only 25.
Doesn't seem to be in their plans at all. Like, they've gone out of their way to make sure that he's not part of anything. Like, that was the only name that was dangled at the trade deadline, apparently.
Say, the only guy that we heard, this was at cutdown day, actually.
Yo, that's what I meant.
That they were considering trading. Someone leaked, like, if they can get something for Noah Igbinoghene, they'll do it. Like, that's weird.
That's okay.
Then it's like,
very oddly specific.
Noah Igbinoghene's inactive constantly.
Yeah.
Every cornerback ever has been hurt. Noah Igbinoghene is still not being asked to play. Something about him they don't like very much.
They're not into that.
They have a funny way of acquiring him two times in two off seasons and then showing that they like him. Treylon Burks at 25, I'm definitely bringing back.
I would too. Wouldn't cost very much.
Shocker, by the way. Welcome to the 2025 Commanders. Shows promise. I'm excited to watch him this weekend, and he immediately needs a surgery on his finger.
DNP finger.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
But as much as that makes you think there's going to be a significant overhaul this offseason, because that's a lot of names we just said, which is probably true. And when you sign all these older players to one-year deals, 35, 32, 35, 36, 32, 31, 30, 35. That's going to happen. It's also a little bit refreshing, I'd say, to look at that and not feel like, oh, no, this guy's leaving?
Yeah.
And maybe the point is they just don't have a lot of this guys. Like, they don't have a lot of guys that if they were walking out the door right now, you'd be like, oh, that's a big loss.
There are so few this guys. Like, that's exactly what it is.
Is that the problem?
There's so few.
That might be the actual negative way to look at it. Because I was thinking, at least they're not losing their best players. When really, a lot of these guys are their best players, and I'm still not that sad if they walk out the door.
That's
because they're not good enough.
Right. So a lot of the guys that a lot of these dudes are healthy, quote unquote, and are playing and are being counted upon and are starters. Nope.
Five
not really that interested.
Losses, yeah. 4 by 20 or more points.
Not interested.
So when you hear that list, what are you thinking? 800-636-1067. Is there anybody on that list you'd stand on the table to keep? The idea being that all these guys that have these expiring deals at the end of the year, if they were to walk, it wouldn't do a whole lot of damage to the short or long-term health of the team, it doesn't feel like. Which in and of itself sounds like a problem, doesn't it? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Robert Mays of The Athletic joins us to spin around the NFL after 10 weeks of football. Coming up in a little over 10 minutes. We just went through all the players that Washington is going to have expiring contracts on this offseason. And you know, if they all were to walk, took a look at who would hurt as a departing piece. And interestingly, frustratingly, I guess, sadly, there's nobody that feels like a deal breaker. Deebo Samuel, Bobby Wagner, Marcus Mariota, Zach Ertz, Von Miller, Jonathan Jones, Matt Gay, Noah Brown, Tressway, Noah Igbinoghene, Treylon Burks. And yet these are, in varying degrees, pretty important pieces right now. What does that say about the health of the roster and the organization? And is there someone on this list that you'd really want to keep? We talked about Mariota and Tressway and those types of guys at the right price being no-brainers. Debo's the one interesting starter. You'd love to keep him around, but is someone going to be willing to pay him good money, and would you be willing to do that? If it costs, after you just fought tooth and nail with Terry all offseason to not pay him, if Debo wants something similar, are you just giving him that? No chance.
What's your walk-away point with Debo in terms of a cap hit?
I wouldn't pay him what you paid him this year, so I would think he'll get that from someone. So I don't like, it's probably not even worth trying. Right. I would say my walk-away point would be like $17, $18 million. Something like that. He wanted to come back on a 2-year deal at 36 mil or something.
I think I would do that, but I don't think he would.
Someone will give him more than that, I would think.
Yeah, someone will be intrigued.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Carlos and Largo, you're on. Excuse me. Let's go to, well, I'll start with Carlos because I already said.
Bringing Carlos, Debo, what's up, back.
Man?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you,
go
buddy.
Ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with bringing Debo back because he's a winner. I mean, I know he's had some injuries, but he's a winner, and you need winners on the team of young players. So, like you said, if it's economical, definitely bring him back. And the same thing with Wagner. You know, Wagner's a leader, man, and I think he's been durable enough this year. I don't think he's missed a lot of time.
The only way I'm bringing him back, though, is if he's a backup or he sparingly plays. You can't have him play every down on a good defense at this point.
Okay, well, that remains to be seen.
I would say you see it every Sunday.
Don't we have a good sample?
Aren't you watching it? You've seen four straight games. I mean, they have no speed, and their middle linebacker horizontally can't get to the sideline.
I hear you. But on the younger side, I like Chris Rodriguez bringing him back, right?
For sure. Was he on that list?
He's not a free agent, I don't think. Oh, maybe he is, actually. Yeah, last year of his rookie deal.
I think these are just the one-year deal signings.
Yeah, yeah.
From this past year that I saw floating around on Twitter. Brian in Ashburn, what's up?
Hey, so I would keep Mariota and Way, but literally every single person you went down that list on, aside from those two, was just by Felicia. Like, and I honestly wouldn't have them on the field now where you get away with it. Evaluate that young talent, because I'm in violent agreement with you. Get as high of a pick as you can, maximize that asset, and get as many return picks as you can.
Yeah, with each loss the rest of the way, and I'm not at a point yet, it's just too much season left where I'm in tank mode, per se, especially if Jaden Daniels is possibly coming back, because I think it's destructive to him if you're trying to tank, essentially. And I don't mean players on the team are not trying to win, they will be, but as a front office, as a coaching staff, when you're in tank mode, see the Wizards, like, positioning your team to develop young guys and not win. And with Jaden on the field, that's not what I'm going to be trying to do. If he is ruled out for the rest of the year, I've got a very different opinion on that. But in the meantime, I think you're right. With every loss, if you lose to the Dolphins, I'm not going to cry tears on Sunday. You just moved up to number 7, and your pick became more valuable, and you're going to get a lot more back for it than you would have 2 weeks ago. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? The only guy I'm standing on the table for is Tressway, by the way. Kudos to Goose Allen, his greatest draft pick ever. And I don't see any of the other free agents being somebody that you really must have, even Mariota. In fact, I'd much rather have somebody like a Joe Flacco type, not necessarily him, be the backup so Jaden can learn from a pure pocket passer who knows how to dissect defenses. And as far as the draft pick goes, Grant, I totally agree with you. Your chances of selecting a superstar, even anywhere between 1 and 10, are not that much different. And I'd rather drop back and get 2 or 3 chances to pick your next superstar.
Yeah, I would only trade back once, which is a lock. I would try to trade back 2 times. And if it's either 0 or 3, I might trade back 3 times.
I mean, it's obviously it's all package dependent. What I could get back
when they make a pick.
Oh man, yeah, it's like come on, I want more. I mean, I know we make fun of it that when they got Devin Thomas and Malcolm Kelly and Fred Davis, but that process is pretty good.
Yes.
Get 3 second rounders within like 10 minutes of each other. That's a good idea, especially when you're trying to fill that barren cupboard with all these veterans that are walking away.
We're looking at some of the guys who signed 1 year deals before the season. Eli's in D.C. wants to hop in. What's up, Eli?
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, dude.
Would you have interest in bringing Debo back, paying him?
Thank you. You just took the name right from me. The reason I'm honing in on Debo is his ability to play different spots. And yep. You're talking about a roster who is, we all know what this roster looks like. And next year, you're going to need, there's no guarantee if you're drafting guys, because they're going to have to go in this draft. You're going to need some veteran guys or a guy who can move and show motion. And for me, he can still represent that while you bring in, you go get you a youthful tight end, you go get you some other guys. So I think Debo is just having to do too much. And I don't think that was the plan for Debo. I thought they wanted to unleash Debo on, like, as like on, when teams were reeling, we don't really know where things are coming from. And now Debo becomes dangerous. And I think they made Debo start running vertical. What you do is you sign Debo, you get Jaden under center more, and you use Debo how he's supposed to be used, which is horizontally across the field and allowing him to run away from linebackers.
I love that. I think there's a distinction between a compliment and a focal point. I think he can be a star as a compliment, talking about Debo Samuel. Like, he's the perfect counter. He's the perfect second weapon because, again, the Swiss Army knife, you don't know where he's going to be. But if he's the focal point of your offense, it's a little bit too easy to take away because he lacks that vertical element. And he gets banged up all the time when he, you know, endures heavy usage.
There have been basically a tale of two seasons with Debo, though. And I was his biggest proponent, screaming from the rooftops. First five games of the year, he had four huge games.
Yep.
Six or more catches, 70 or more yards. Like, he was scoring touchdowns in three or four games at one point. Over the last month, during four losses, he has averaged about four catches for 25 yards. And I don't know how much of this is health in the heel or what exactly is going on, but he just has not looked the same to me. The twitch, the explosiveness, some of it might be usage. It might be what the caller was just talking about and kind of getting him the ball on linebackers and in space. And you kind of want to get him the ball with a full head of steam already, essentially. But it has been broken in terms of his involvement in the last month. And so 4 weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, I might extend this guy, and Terry's not going to like it, but it's going to be a lot less of a fight for him to get the money because he's just a great weapon. I don't feel that way right now.
Yeah, to your point, over the last four games combined for 107 yards that he's played.
And by the way, over that time, you know, he has gotten banged up.
Yeah.
And you've got to wonder, a year older into his 30s, injury history, the shape that constantly he's battling and teams are talking about and the club is with him on. I don't know about this team, but certainly San Francisco was. Like, these are the types of things as guys get older that normally don't get better. Do you want to sign him to a multi-year deal this offseason? I think that's a reasonable debate that they've got to have internally. Robert Mays of The Athletic, let's go around the NFL with him. We'll get ready for Week 11. Want to get his analysis of Washington and where this thing went sideways, and then break down the top of each conference next on Grant and Danny.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.